Hello and welcome to Telling Tinder Tales, a podcast where people confess their interesting dating stories with me, Chris O'Neill.
And me, Thomasin Lockwood. Today we'll be joined by two guests. Each will tell their dating story, each will answer to our questions.
Coming up on today's show.
I was quite under the impression we were going to another bar. We went to his house.
Imagine if he tried to do with both hands.
Oh my god, imagine. Oh my god.
This is not spontaneous. You're just ruining my shit.
Probably would have, put myself on the pool table.
Sorry, am I in the way?
Hello. Hello, chaps.
Thomas, where are you? What have you been up to this week?
Well, I went on three different dates with three different guys. That was my week. I've really packed it in. I did like a panic swipe on Hinge and but all very lovely. One of them I think I'm going to see again. So that's nice. He bought new shoes ahead of our date, which I thought was very endearing, but it meant that he couldn't walk properly in them. So he was walking along like a penguin a little bit to the station when we left. But I think that's a good sign because I wasn't weirded out. I found it endearing and I'm like, okay, cool.
I see.
So obviously we tend to, in case the listeners haven't realized yet, Chris and I, we record remotely as do all our guests. But something a bit special this week, Chris, where are you recording from?
I'm recording from Spain. I'm recording from the block of apartments where my wife fell down and broke her wrist, leading to our marriage. If anyone's been listening to an earlier episode, they'll understand that. If they haven't listened to the earlier episode, go back and listen to the earlier episode. Again, just before the start of this podcast, my wife tried to fall up a marble staircase in the apartment we're in at the moment. Maybe she's just trying to deepen and refresh our relationship. I don't know, but it seems a bit desperate.
I love that. Like her falling down the stairs, like, remember this? Memories.
Yeah, no. Anyway, we better introduce our two guests today. We've got Aidan and Melinda. Give me a shout out, folks.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. That was a hello and a half. Excellent. Okay, so thank you both very much. I'm sure we come back to that. And so, Aidan, would you like to tell us where you're calling from and give us a Tinder tale, please?
Yes. Hello from lovely Northeast London in my flat. I am originally from Canada. I was born in Ottawa, moved to Toronto, and now I live in London. Been here for 4 years. And gone on a shockingly few amount of dates since living in London, but one in particular has, I mean, I don't know if it's the reason I don't go on many, but it's certainly the most memorable one I think I've ever had in any country. So, match with this guy on Tinder, little bit of chat, whatever. In his bio was the French flag, and so I assumed he was from France. We, get to chatting. Turns out he's not from France. He's from, like, very South Germany that borders France. And, like, okay, I'm sure there's a bit of crossover culturally, but I'm just kind of like, it's a bit strange to put the French flag and not be French. Sort of first sort of weird thing, right? But, fine. Keep going. We go to a sort of not very busy bar. Have one cocktail, and then he's like, oh, should we go to, like, another place? And I said, okay, yeah, sure, let's, go somewhere else, who cares? Now, again, he's got a relatively thick accent, but still, I was quite under the impression we were going to another bar. We went to his house. He was like, we pulled up sort of like, it was sort of like a row of like garden, like, sort of back gardens. And he pulls up to like this back gate. I was like, oh, this must be a private sort of, I was like, you must know about some hidden bar here, right? I'm like, it's just like fencing. I was like, how cool that he knows about like a hidden, aww. And we're in Hackney. So like, it's plausible, right?
Speakeasy.
Right. Well, this is it, right? So like, ooh, speakeasy in Hackney. All right. Fine. And he's like, no, this is my house. And I was just like, what? I was like, oh, the second bar is your house. Okay. So, you know, we go, and technically he does have a bar in his living room, along with gym equipment and a leather couch. Say two. End of description of his living room. So I was like, fine, whatever. And he makes me some drink equivalent to, like, what you would get at, like, a fresher's mix. Like, it was literally, like, what he could steal from his parents' house is what it felt like, right? Which, like, when you're 19 in uni, first year, it's absolutely fine. But, like, at this point, I was not that age anymore. So he makes me some garbage cocktail, whatever, and he sits down. And we sit down, and at this point, just given all of the vibes that he's clearly giving off, where we are, what he's made me, all of this, I sort of say, as sort of politely as I can, just so you're aware, I was like, we shall not be doing anything physical today. We shall not be, like, I'm not taking off any clothes, like, basically, is what I sort of said. And, you know, a bit more chat that was not very good, whatever. And he starts to, and then he comes in to kiss me, and he starts putting moves on me and stuff. And, again, I sort of gently sort of remind him, fine, we can make out a bit, but, you know, that's as far as it's going. And so, now to explain where the next bit went wrong, I'm just very quickly gonna describe my outfit I was wearing. Okay, I promise this is relevant. I was wearing a turtleneck because it was winter, some black leggings again because it was winter. I had like a cute little spaghetti strap dress over the turtleneck, sort of like for fashion, and then like a necklace again on top of the turtleneck, again for fashion. So, you know, and he's trying to, so there's like layers involved. But it's still cute. And so as he's doing the move making now on the couch, I guess because I've said now twice that, like, I'm not taking any clothes off, I guess he figures he can't go up the skirt to get anything he wants. So he decides to go through the turtleneck to grab my boob. After again?
Ingenious.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what part of, like, we're not taking clothes off. Like, he was, like, just so determined to get to boo that he's, like, right, going through the neck hole. And, like, it was absolutely horrendous. And luckily, this has given me my closing joke when I do stand-up now. Because I, literally, on the way home, I was, like, I had not even started doing stand-up at this point when I went on this date, but literally the punchline came over me in a wave of, like, it was worth it just for this punchline, because I just, like, literally walking home in a blaze of, like, what the fuck was that? The punchline was, like, if you stretch out the neck hole of my cashmere merino wool turtleneck, that is the last hole of mine you will ever stretch out. And I was like... worth it. So, needless to say, I did not actually say that in real life, unfortunately. What I did do was just, I just stopped moving. I froze at a certain point because I could feel him tugging on the necklace, and I was like, not my good Oliver and Bonas necklace, like, how fucking dare you. So, yeah, I eventually sort of managed, I think he realized at some point that I had stopped participating in the makeout, and that this was probably as, you know, a very awkward boob grab was probably as much as he was going to get out of me that evening. So, but, you know, he sort of walked me half the way home and parted ways and whatever. And I would love to say that that's where it ended. I mean, it is where it ended. I never saw him again, obviously. But he kept messaging me, like, after the date, like, wanting another date. And I was trying to be polite, right, and ghost him, obviously. And, because, I'm sorry, one date you can ghost someone, that's acceptable. Also, I have
it's the only decent thing to do.
Well, thank you. I also have a controversial opinion in that I don't hate ghosting. Like, I don't think it's that terrible of an idea. Like, I already hate myself enough. I don't need you to tell me why you don't want to be with me. I would rather just assume you died. It's fine. So, I was trying to be polite and ghost this gentleman. Not gentleman. Human. And he just, like, wouldn't stop. So eventually I said, I'm so sorry, I'm not interested in seeing you again. And then he said, why? Now, you can't ask a Virgo why unless you want your feelings hurt. Like, so I then gave him like a short novel of what had gone wrong on our first date and why I didn't want to see him again. And I ended with like, please have some respect for our clothing because we like it so much more than you. And he was like, okay, all right. And just like, okay. Then I never heard from him again. So that's my story.
Aidan, thank you for that story. I suppose the question that arises for me immediately is, did you recover? Did the knitwear recover its shape?
Yes, it did, because luckily I don't have the budget for actual cashmere merino wool. So it was this was a lovely Uniqlo turtleneck that has bounced back and has been worn several many times since then, and she has not overly stretched out. It's fine, thank you.
Thomason, what have you got to contribute here on Aidan's story?
It's a lucky turtleneck, I don't know. I mean, first of all, I just love your whole philosophy on ghosting. I'm the opposite, by the way. I'm like, I need a review. I need like feedback, but I love the idea of like someone being like, oh, like, how did your date with Mike
He's
go?
Dead.
He's dead.
Yeah.
He died.
I know. I thought I was great. I thought I was funny. Never heard from him again. He must be dead not to want to see me again. Like that's, yeah.
Okay. I have two questions. I'll ask one, and then I will move it on to our other guest, Melinda. The first one is, you mentioned Virgo. So what is it like to date a Virgo?
I mean, listen, don't ask our opinion unless, like, you really mean it. Because, you know, we are opinionated, we are detail-oriented. So, like, you know, it's the real attention to detail that most Virgos are very, very attention to detail. Very observant. Like, we see and we notice everything. So if you want to know what we think of anything, we will have a bullet list for you. And every single piece of that will be noted and made an opinion on. Usually, I mean it to help you. it's all to make things better, is like our point of view, but it sometimes does come across really, really dry.
I mean, I'm certainly hoping he's mended his turtleneck stretching ways. So let's.
I hope so.
Yeah.
If I can prevent one other woman's turtleneck from being stretched out, then I will consider my life worth it. Or if and the other one that kills me that I used to put up with a lot when I was younger, is when you get down to the bra, and it's hard to describe this because no one can see me, but they go in and they pull the cup down to get to boob.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Man, you have no idea how expensive bras are. Stop doing that to
it's
our
really
75-pound
upsetting.
Victoria's Secret bras, please. Like, stop mishaking. Like, they're so expensive. Please, stop it. Just either learn how to take them off or ask. I'll take it off. I'll happily take it off for you rather than you maul it apart to get to my nipple. Like, that's.
Mate, I had an ex in my early 20s who, to try and be sexy, he would rip off the shirt I was wearing. And it got to the point where I was like, yeah. I need you to stop. Please stop. And he'd be like, but I'm trying to be. And I'm like, it's not, you're not in the moment if you're doing it every time. This is like, this is not spontaneous. You're just ruining my shit.
I know it's coming and I know it's going to cost me money. Stop. Like, yeah.
Right. Melinda, have you got anything to add? Any questions?
Yeah. I mean, one of my first thoughts was you might have just created a guy who is really into polo necks now because of that experience. He's just like,
maybe.
Please wear a polo neck on the chat.
Yeah. Yeah. But I can't. The
other
thing
harder it is for me to get that hand in there.
Well, this is it, right? Is I can never understand like how it was even enjoyable for him. Because, like, think of the angle his arm had to be at. And, for, like, still making
yeah,
out with that, me.
I'm picturing an elbow in your face.
Yeah,
just
it was. And he's just like, yeah, titty. Like, what? I don't understand. Like, how he was even like,
you imagine if he tried to do with both hands?
Oh, my God, imagine. If he had, oh, my God.
One from the top, one from the bottom. Just
no, luckily he had to keep one protecting his leather couch. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of that. I'm impressed with your honesty with him as well.
Nothing's happening.
Well, you know, because I was, you know, in my younger years, I probably would have just gone along with it to, quote unquote, be polite, right? You know, as it happens with a lot of, Chris, I know you're laughing, but a lot of women do that. We do this to,
I've done it.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you don't know what's going to happen when you say no, right? And there's so many women that have gone through so many, you know, sexual or pseudo-sexual experiences that, like, it's not non-consensual, but it's sort of like, it's out of politeness, not out of exuberance, right?
Spare a thought for us British women. We're brought up on politeness and queuing and we're like,
yeah.
Think of how worse it is for us.
Oh my God. And I thought we had it bad in Canada. I thought we, yeah.
You just go, well, it'd be rude not to.
God, blimey, my top's getting stretched out.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, you know, mustn't grumble, you know. So in my younger years, I probably would have just, you know, let him do what he wanted. But I was like, you know, no, I am an adult woman now and I'm not being made uncomfortable. I'm going to say, you know, where my boundaries are and my restrictions and when I'm comfortable doing things. And, yeah, this is the first time I put that into practice, and it really tested me.
Saved your polo neck.
I sure did.
I'm glad it survived.
Amazing.
We do have a catchphrase, which is nobody leaves needing therapy that didn't arrive needing therapy.
Do we know how old this guy was?
Oh, I don't remember. Over 25.
Yeah, because he sounds... Because he sounds really like my son,
yeah.
Like my son would do something like that. And he's, you know what I mean? My son at 18 or something.
Yeah. he was old enough to have his own two
bedroom. To know
bedroom.
Better.
Well, A, old enough to know better. B, old enough to have his own two bedroom flat that was a ground floor, like maisonette home in Hackney. Mm. In sometimes
he was a functioning adult.
Yeah, like
theory.
He had a proper job. Like he had a proper, like I don't remember what it was because I'm very bad at knowing human jobs, like normal jobs. I don't understand them, but he has a perfectly normal job, and you know. So,
I feel
yeah.
like I really do. I have to respect the philosophy of I'm going to put the French flag there because I may not be French, but I feel French. Like maybe like I'll just put lots of money signs in my account, and I'm like I'm not rich, but I feel rich. That's the culture I'm most like aligned with.
Yeah, maybe he was manifesting Frenchness.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Right. Well, has anyone got any more questions for Aidan? If not, we will move on to Melinda. But any last ones?
Well, I think we've had quite an experience with Aidan.
Also a review of many of my
Aidan,
dates.
I feel like I went through that with you.
Thank you.
Right. All right. Well, Melinda, when you're ready, please tell us where you're calling from and tell us your Tinder tale.
Okay. So I'm in Southeast London. Currently, which is where I live. I'm originally from, you're a few detecting a weird accent. I'm originally from Philadelphia, but I've lived here, in the UK since the 80s. So I'm proper British. So this is in my earlier Tinder dating experience. So I didn't know a lot of things. Okay. Is what I'm saying. Even though I was older, I was a bit naive in some respects. So match with this guy. Things that I remember about his profile, he's quite beefy. Which at the time I was quite into. In his pictures, he had a full head of hair. And so, yeah, like his pictures were kind of cute. And he was like, oh, I used to play rugby. And he had kids though, and I had kids. So I thought, this is quite nice. I'm quite, you know, I'm very happy to date guys with kids and all that kind of thing. So that was all good. Arranged to meet in a pub. So we met up and immediately I was like,
Your pictures are a little older, probably, than your current look would suggest, kind of things. But it wasn't like that bad, but it was definitely, he didn't have very much hair in real life, which I'm not averse to, but I was missold, is what I'm saying. But not so badly that I was like, I'm going to turn around and leave. So I was like, okay, we'll see how this goes. He also clearly didn't play rugby anymore. He's perfectly nice. I'm like, oh, this is all fine. But I had that thing. I don't know if anybody else gets this, but I knew within seconds, like, I don't find you attractive physically. So probably not whatever's going to happen. But anyway, I was like, okay, I'm here now. I'm going to have a nice chat with a guy who seems quite nice. We'll have a drink. I'll go. He was like, oh, let me buy you a drink. What do you want? And I tend to be quite like, whatever, just a lager kind of thing. But anyway, he comes back with a kind of what I thought in my head was like, oh, you've got me a girl's drink, basically, because it was like a pink lager, which, and he's like, oh, this is cherry and something, you know, yep. You'd probably like this. And that was the first kind of like, oh, God, you know, like, all right, fine. Fine. So I was like, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Because I've been in England for so long. And I was like, oh, that's lovely. Thanks. So he was perfectly kind of nice in a bland way. But again, I was kind of like, there's nothing here. There's no spark. I don't find you attractive. I don't know what you think of me, but I don't really care. But I was kind of like, well, we'll just chit chat. So we found stuff to chat. We talked about kids and all that kind of thing, our kind of backgrounds and stuff. So I was like, do you want a drink? I'll get you one of your lagers and I'll get myself a proper beer. So he's like, oh yeah, thanks. I did notice, in the bar, there was like a pool table kind of, beyond our table with a load of probably what I would say was sort of 30 something age guys who were pretty cute, but who kept giving me the glad eye. So, and there was a couple, there was like one guy who was sort of looking really quizzically like, are they together? kind of thing. And in my head, I was already kind of going, wanting to kind of go, we're not a couple. But again, like the English in me was like, you know, just no, don't do it. Don't do it, babe. So I go to the bar now. And then one of the pool playing dudes saunters up. So he's all like, hey, you know, kind of thing. And I was like, he was like, can I give you my number? And I was like, again, inwardly, like, yeah, but outwardly, I was like, no, I'm on a date, you know, kind of thing. And then he was like, so are you guys a couple? And then I was like, no, we're not. This is a Tinder date. This is our we're not together.
Could not say no faster.
But I was like, I can't take the guy's number with the other guy. Cause I was like, you know, I don't want the guy to feel bad. He was a perfectly nice guy. Went back and we chit chatted a bit more, but internally I was already working out my kind of when's a decent time to kind of exit. And I was realizing in the conversation that he was essentially vetting me. Cause he was sort of like, how do you feel about, you know, do you like gardening? And I was like, random question, but I don't know how to garden. And he was like, asking things about like my feelings about housework and just like all this stuff. I was like, I think you're on the wrong app. Like, clearly, he was just basically looking for someone who could sort of slot in and look after his kids.
Sir, this is not Farmer Wants a Wife.
Exactly. I was just like, what the fuck is this guy? And then he was like, oh, I really loved Blue Water or Lakeside. One of those places was like his favorite place to go. So I was like, okay, like why? And he's like, oh, kids love shopping. And just sort of this horrendous conversation of, I was just like, he clearly envisages a future of me watching his kids. Cause he was getting keen. And a couple times he did sort of reached over and touched my hand, kind of coquettishly. And I was like, I'm giving none of those signals. Oh, like I would want that. So yeah, I kind of was like, I need to wrap this up because this is not going the way he thinks it's going to go. And I certainly am not interested in
taking on more kids. Because my kids were older, I was like, I could taste the freedom.
Like, I have put in my hours.
I'm not doing that again. So, yeah, exactly. Love my kids as I do. I was like, they're the right age and they'll be leaving soon. So I kind of essentially downed the rest of my beer and was like, right, oh my God, it was so good to meet you. Oh my God. And then as we were leaving, we sort of parted at the tube and he kind of leant in for one of those, a smooch, basically, which is very, again, I was just like, oh, so we have one of those really awkward, he's lunging in and I'm like, if you can picture like the Matrix when they're dodging a bullet, like, slow mo. And he caught my like jawbone with his lips. And then I think I like patted him on the shoulder, kind of like, oh, so nice. And yeah, and that was essentially the end of that.
Wow, that was great. I do feel like both your the British culture you had picked up of the politeness shot you in the foot, but your American customer service, you know, they're known for their great, like, thank you so much, sir. That was excellent. Thank you. Come, like, we'll call you. I think that saved you in the end because I really, as a British person, I really struggle with that. Like, wasn't this great?
Yeah, same.
Well done for getting yourself out. My question, what I'm sure we're all dying to know is, did you go back to the pub?
No, I think I was like, I just need to get out of here. And also probably to slightly save myself from myself, because had I at that stage that I was in, which was like newly dating again, I was like, I'm going to take all the dick I can get right now. So I thought, let me not.
I was wondering though, if you were, did you think in your head like a plan of if I do go back, this is what I'll say? Well, this is what I'll do.
Wow.
Because they might just suddenly run through the doors and be like, I'm free, gentlemen. Behold.
I didn't think it through. In fact, I don't think I've ever been known for planning anything. So I think I would have just gone in there and kind of winged it. Probably would have, you know, put myself on the pool table.
Sorry, am I in the way?
Hello. Hello, chaps.
Amazing. Chris, do you have any questions for Melinda? Thoughts, feelings?
Well done on escaping a long life as a housekeeper. But in that context, I'm curious, what is your preferred shopping outlet?
Oh, I'll tell you what I like. Nowadays, I have been converted to a bit of online. So I like Vinted is probably where I get most of my stuff. But I like a charity shop. I love a Sally Army, British Heart Foundation, all that.
I'm sorry, I've never heard of Sally Army, and I love that. That's great.
That Salvation Army.
No, I know. Yeah, like I put that together, but I've just never heard it called Sally Army before.
Oh yeah.
Like I knew immediately it was a Salvation Army. Like I know what you're talking about, but I just had never heard that term. I love England.
Aidan, did you have any questions for Melinda?
I admire your ability to not like obsess over the pool guys. Cause like for me, I don't even start to get involved with people, because as soon as I do, I'm like, right, here's how our whole life together is going to go. And it's entirely made up by me in my brain. And if it doesn't go exactly to that plan, I'm devastated. But, I would have gone back to that pub another night and just hoped that those guys were there again. And like, I would have kept going until we had our perfect meet cute scene and we fell in love and then we got married in the pub garden. I'm assuming there's a lovely pub garden. So yeah. Yeah.
So you had the story worked out of the story of your first meeting, which is, so it was the first time I was in that pub and we were by the pool table.
Yeah. And it's just such a lovely, like, comparable story to like this, like, not so great Tinder date. And like, you know, there was nothing, like, as you said, there was nothing like particularly wrong with this. I mean, other than the fact that like he was essentially looking for a maid.
That and the girl's drink, which it's, I was just like, fuck off. How dare you?
Yeah, that is a bit strange. Like, you know, if you're going to get me a drink, at least like what you asked for. Or something, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's absolutely fantastic Tinder tales today. Just before we wrap up, Aiden, do you have anything to plug? Any socials? Any shows?
Yeah, follow me on Instagram at, it's just my name, Aidan Morris, Morris 16 on Instagram.
Fabulous. And Melinda?
My social media is my name. So it's melinda.mukuma. So it's MALINDA.MUKUMA.
Excellent. Very good. Well, I think that brings us to the end of the show. You've been brilliant. Thank you very much.
Exactly. But no, that's it from us. Please give us a follow at Telling Tinder Tales on Instagram, and we'll see you very soon.
And goodbye now from all of us. Say goodbye, folks. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Telling Tinder Tales is hosted and produced by me, Chris O'Neill, and Thomason Lockwood. Produced and edited by Lucy Regan, with music by Kinkas Moreira. It's a Jester's Comedy Dublin production and is no way affiliated with or endorsed by Tinder. If you have a story to tell, please get in touch. Details are in the show notes. And if you like us, instead of swiping right, follow us on Instagram and or TikTok at Telling Tinder Tales.